for some reason, you can't buy them like in the store the same way. So they know exactly
before
what you're
doing.
Before
you check in, just buy some booze.
That's
in the store.
Sure.
That's what I do. I don't touch that shit in there because, you know, three of
those things
can add
your, it's not always
double your bill.
I mean, for people like me who are very selective when I drink, you know what I mean? I rarely touch alcohol, as you know.
It's so clear. It's
clear.
I can tell by the look in your eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That when I do go into a hotel room and I see one of those, I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll have one.
They're small.
They're little. Things.
Thus, you feel like it's not really corrupting your system.
I went with a friend of mine I hadn't seen in years to a party that would end in tears.
This is Romus.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
Fuck me, fuck you, fuck him, fuck her, fuck us, fuck them, fuck y'all, fuck all y'all.
Fuck the bells of St. Trinians.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's go forwards, not backwards.
Let's go forwards, not backwards. Okay. Pick another saint. Pick another saint. There are many, many, many of them.
Saint Stephen.
Well,
Stephen.
Kind of a girl.
I'm pretty sure that's not.
Saint.
Not a saint, is there?
St. Francis of Assisi, maybe. The one with all the dogs and cats. Was that him?
I don't think so.
Of lost cause.
Patron saint of the Beatles. Yeah.
Very
good.
That's good, yeah.
St. Anthony, I think he's the patron saint of lost things, so that's a good one.
The Jude, Anthony and Jude, are one is lost cause. One is lost causes, and the other is lost things.
Very good.
One is for losers, though. St. Anthony.
St. Christopher is the patron saint of travels, right?
Yeah. Of tinkers and travelers, yeah.
Travelers.
Gypsies. So he's the patron saint of people who knock back booze.
He's the patron saint of bar pretenders.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
Their clientele.
What's his name?
Saint Swithin.
Swithin?
Yes.
Let's go through all the saints.
Let's work our way through the saints. And excuse me, by the time...
We'll be done in a couple of minutes, I would imagine. Would you like an ashtray?
Every saint.
Yes, we'll get one.
I didn't notice by your resume that you were a non-smoker, though.
We'll have a toast. We'll have to do a shot for every saint that you can mention.
Alphabetically, though.
I can mention several, but I can't identify what they're special.
We'll be doing tequila shots.
Specialty.
I've seen everybody's act.
Yeah.
A moment of silence, please, while our producer once again...
Went with a friend of mine I hadn't seen in years to a party that would end... In tears.
My favorite kind of party. The party that ends in tears.
Most of my friends usually start with tears.
He told me on the phone his new lover was appealing. Beautiful and young, probably worth stealing.
Aren't they all? Young, beautiful, worth stealing.
What going on?
Yeah. Again, you mean,
to my bones, watching my friend's new squeeze. He'd always been alone, now he had... Somebody.
I don't know. It's creepy.
What would happen to this? You're creepy.
This guy.
Stuck by the fridge door, bored by the
bored
disco,
by the disco sounds.
I find magnetic letters started to push them around.
Wow, that was really incredibly uninspiring. Was that your choice?
Yeah, he gets to the chick at
the
end.
I don't,
she blows him at the party and his friend is devastated. And then their
friendship. Who does? Who does?
Momus gets the chick, she blows him at the party, and then... Their friendship is over.
What kind of a name is that, Momus?
It's
kind of
it's
ridiculous.
Kind of the god of...
Although that music sounds very kind of reminiscent of... It's almost like Noel Coward music, kind of, in
that's
a way.
That's like the 18th century.
It is kind of like... It has
born,
that sort of
element.
It's kind of...
You learned the harpsichord the court of Louis XIV, didn't you?
I played with his harpsichord a couple of times,
yes. I heard a few things about that.
I was a court jester back then in
clearly.
The turn of the century before the troubles started.
Yes.
The personal issues.
Uh-huh.
The Hundred Years' War, as I call it.
I see.
Yeah.
So that makes
we
won't
you
350.
311 right now.
311.
Well, 311 on Tuesday, yes.
Great.
Yes, but, you know, I'm still mobile.
Yeah, it's
I'm
nice.
Still walking around, though.
It's nice. Still,
I still have all my hair.
Making it happen.
I can kind of see and sort of hear.
You know, we were having an interesting time talking about saints, and I...
Were we?
We were going to do a shot with every saint that was named, so... If people can,
okay, do you want to try
it? People who are listening can send email us a list...
Of all the saints and what their chosen field of topic of...
I'd like to know about saints that drink, patron saints of sex, patron saints of money.
Patron saints of...
And if you could send us
hangovers.
Gold, that would be good, too.
And frankincense and myrrh.
The patron saint of gold. That's my saint.
What is it? What does patron mean? Like the
patron. It's like
patron.
It's
okay.
Like tequila.
So what does patron mean then?
It means tequila.
Oh, patron is tequila. I had a very good friend who drank patron tequila. She was a very large, black lady. She was a dark lady. She was a large dark lady.
She was a
and she got very very dark.
Full of a girl.
She got very dark on patron.
Yeah.
Very dark on patron.
Very.
So yes, that would be actually interesting to have all the saints sort of texted or emailed to us. I mean, I'll give you
what's
a few. Aloysius.
What's our email
can we get a B there? Give us a B. Saint Brendan. C. Saint Columbkill. D. Saint Demetrius. That's wrong, probably.
E. Saint.
Saint Elephant.
Saint Edward.
Saint, yeah. F. Saint Francis, of course.
Saint Francis.
Of Assisi.
G. Saint Gertrude.
Saint Gertrude. H. Saint. Hallelujah.
I, St. Ignatius.
J, St. Joseph. Da.
K, St. Catherine.
Kevin, I think. K, L, St. Lucifer.
Oh, he's a total saint, dude. That's my favorite, you know?
L, M.
He was the most beautiful of the angels, and he lives in Hollywood now.
Hollywood.
Well, he created this place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, no doubt.
It's clear.
Anyway, we can finish
beautiful, out. Deceptive, etc. But I'm interested in St. Swithin, the patron saint of
drinkers,
bartenders, and,
boozers,
and,
yeah,
and
especially
their clientele.
Spirits like bourbon and rye. Yeah.
I think he was sainted during the late 19th century
in
London.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Never liked London,
somewhere
actually.
In Covent Garden. He was a cockney.
London didn't do. He had a cock?
He was a cockney.
Oh, he was a cockney.
His daughter was a cockney as well.
Her name was Amanda Likes. She worked at a place called the Cockwell Inn.
There it is.
And in a place called Tillet, Herts, England.
Wow.
So if you kind
you
of
learn
put
those as a dirty
if you put all that together.
You
if
you learn that?
Yes. Yes, right. Learned that as a child, yeah. Amanda Likes, care of the Cockwell Inn, Tillet, Herts, London.
There it is. You know, we yes. love children's yeah. jokes.
Children's rhymes. I mean, that's the thing
so
we used to talk about.
So innocent and fresh and young always.
Yes.
This is the thing that adults forget about children. They are not innocent. They are not fresh. They're only
They're
young.
Poisonous, actually.
That's
most
it.
Of them.
They're dirty, filthy, and they have to be taught to be human. And still, at 311, you have not learned
You've
a
not
thing.
Learned a shred of yes. it. Yes. I haven't. I'll agree with that.
I think we have a guest tonight, yes?
I have no idea.
No.
Because I'm actually speaking from a sort of an isolated point. I'm virtual tonight.
Yes.
I'm actually not in the room.
No, neither am I. I'm here just drinking again. And okay, we have a show. What is it called?
The, Peter and
Omar.
Oh, yeah. Is that what your name is? Omar Show. This is our 50...
It's the Peter and Omar Show starring Omar and Peter.
54th.205 log date, star date 486953, Spock. Show.
That's
and
right.
We have a guest on this evening. I think it's a male, actually. We had a female.
Are you sure? Did you roll
I'm
the
not
flower?
Really sure at all. Pull them. Yeah, it's male.
Okay.
Okay, so we had a female. Well, I don't know. She was kind of looked like she was kind of pre-op or something. And then we had...
Jesus Christ. We've come a long way since 17.
And then we had another female who was, well, you know, she was actually female because I think... And then there was a male who kind of became a female towards the end of the evening. And then, and now we have a male.
Yes.
Yeah. So
and the outcome remains to be seen.
Well, yeah, okay. So his name is, I'd like to introduce him, his name is Rafe. Rafe.
Vincenzo.
No, that's Vincenzo. No, he just goes by one name, I think, Rafe.
Right.
Okay. He doesn't speak at all.
No. So this is going to be a very brief
He also
show.
Doesn't hear.
No.
It's great. Well.
He pretty much sits there.
His name is Ralph Vincent, or as I like to pronounce it, Ralph Vincent.
That's a very good...
Well yeah, done. Thank you.
Very,
yeah.
very good English-American
yeah,
accent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, impressive. Do you notice the difference?
No.
Oh, okay.
Have you been working on it?
No.
No.
Okay, so Ralph is a comedian, much like myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're definitely...
much like my life.
Someone who... Yeah,
my life
your
is
life
a
is a comedy.
My life is a comedy.
But you're not a
comedian. Of errs.
There it is. So Ralph is from New York, lives in L.A., mm-hmm. is a comedian. Mm-hmm. And why don't we let Ralph speak for himself now?
Ralph, welcome. Yeah! Thunderous applause. Insert laugh track. Ha, 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 ha. Good. Tell us about yourself. We'll be outside doing some gardening.
Okay, great. How many minutes do I get?
That's it. You're done. It's seconds here. It's seconds here.
Perfect.
Why don't you, if you've got like, the show is probably an hour long. If you've got like a set that's maybe 30, 35, 40, 45 minutes.
Sure, I'll fill it up.
I just want to just knock that out and then we'll get back to the end of the show.
Great. Yeah, great.
There's plenty of time to drink.
Thank you guys for having me. I know this is a
absolutely
high-end show.
It is.
Classy stuff.
High-end, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. Yeah, great.
Wow. That
well, thanks really for having me.
That was
come on, you're not a man who's at a loss for words. Let's talk about your work.
Okay.
Let's talk about what inspires you.
Okay.
Okay, good. So, okay. This is kind of like becoming an episode of like Password, where we have to kind of like guess what the guest is kind of thinking about or something.
Yes.
Yeah, but so it's kind of like blank stare, so it's a little hard to discern.
I think what we should do...
I mean, should we draw the information out of you through a game or something? Is that what you want us to do?
Well, I was crazy. I thought we'd do like the regular interview format with question and answer or something. But I guess we can do charades.
But you just stared.
I can charade.
Yeah, okay, that's good, yeah. We could do Pictionary as well, which is a really great favorite on the radio.
Yeah, it's great. It's really excellent. Good, I can do magic tricks. So yeah. Really
hold on, hold on, you guys. What's this?
Let's do a card trick. That's awesome.
Wait. Can you tell me what this is?
Second word.
We'll be playing a game of Pictionary, charades, and card tricks for the remainder of the show.
Should be great. I'll show you guys my flea circus. It'll be terrific.
Wow. And I'll show you my crabs.
But let's slow down a little bit. You have a show coming up on the 21st?
I do. I'm playing at the Hollywood Improv on the 21st. Mm-hmm. It's Father's Day. It should be...
What time?
9 o'clock. And should be great.
And what's the address there?
It's on Melrose. I think it's 8162 Melrose.
And your website might have that information.
Yeah, it will, for sure. RalphVincent.com. Or if you
you're also always so serious when you're asking that information. It's always so pointed.
I know.
You know,
it's
it
almost
is. Kind of, you know why?
It's almost so... It's
because
it's
I don't want people to miss their
accusatory in a way.
It is, actually.
It's accusatory is what it is.
You're here to plug your show.
It's almost like you're asking the question, wanting him not to have the answer available to him.
I do.
That's
what
I'm sort of
getting.
Are you getting that from that?
I just feel like...
the address, please.
I feel like attacked. You left the window open. You were like, say whatever you want. And then you're like, or plug your show, asshole. You know?
Okay. I feel sensing hostility from both of you now.
Yeah, well.
It's usually just
because
him.
We're only reacting of what we're getting.
Oh, my goodness. You guys are both overreacting. I knew that you were a sensitive older gentleman. Ralph, please. So that's great. So Sunday the 21st, 9 o'clock.
Oh, mm-hmm. Excellent. Yes.
And this is comedy?
It's stand-up comedy.
Stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I've always thought that sit-down comedy actually might be kind of a nice little thing to do as opposed to stand-up, you know?
It's slightly less effective.
You kind of wheel an armchair onto the stage and deliver jokes from an armchair as opposed to standing up.
It's easier
on the legs.
I haven't tried that. I've tried it from a piano stool. It's not really the same, but it gets over. It's the same in a very different way, I guess. Mm-hmm. And by that I mean a less funny way.
Kind of like the conversation we're having right now, pretty dull.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is probably the greatest moment of our lives.
Wow. It probably is because it's the one we're having right now. Yeah, so on that,
it's
on
the
that
greatest,
level,
greatest
it
moment
is.
We're having, yeah.
Get into the moment. Stay present. Let's be zen about this whole thing. So,
ooh, there's a phone call. Let's go to the lines. Let's open it up. Oh, we don't have that feature yet, but we will soon.
So, were you always a comedian, or... how did you start off in the world of performing?
I guess I went to theater I went to school for theater and for music, and thought that that was pretty useless. So I left and came to Los Angeles to work on my comedy act, and that was 11 years ago. And ever since, it's been hilarious jokes in the clubs.
Great, excellent, excellent.
Might we hear one of them?
Clearly not. I think we have a clip. Okay. We're going to do clips, right?
I think he was going to sing a number for us, though.
Oh, yeah? You're a singer, too?
Can you do that?
Sure, I'll sing you a number. 4! Thank you.
Wow, that's good.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be available on his next album.
How do you remember all the lyrics to that song?
RalphVincent.com.
Well, I wrote it. So.
Oh, you wrote it, so duh. Yeah, of course.
I hope it's copywritten, because, I have heard people use it.
1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think I should copyright the alphabet.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be good?
So no one could speak.
No one could speak without paying me. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, send me gold.
I think it's all about just patenting common words, getting the copyright on common words, the and very high profit type words, right?
Yes.
High profit
and
low margin, high profit
of
Oh, a high prophet, I thought you said. Like a prophet, like a soothsayer.
We've already covered the saints. We're done with that.
No, a soothsayer.
Those are not
a saint.
They're the same thing.
There's a difference.
They're not.
There is.
They're all full of mumbo jumbo.
Fortune tellers.
Yes.
So not the same. Prophets and fortune tellers.
Lucifer, saints, soothsayers, gypsies, whatever.
Gypsies, if you will.
Toothsayers. Right. All the same. As far as the toothsayers.
Saints within a dentist as well.
People in wagons, right. Essentially.
They're all a little frightening and a little strange, but a lot of fun when they're drunk.
So I think we're going to listen to a little clippity-clop, yes?
I think we should.
Let's listen to one.
Yes.
Of Ralph Vincent at work, as it were.
International hits.
International hits, yeah.
Indeed.
Let's see how international they truly are.
You're insane. You know that.
That's your cue to cue it up. Sounds like the clap.
So exciting. How's everybody?
Good.
Come on, this isn't like TV. I can hear you. How's everybody doing?
That was great.
I recently got married.
Yay!
That's right. Married an old woman, because it's better than having a real job. She's older than me, but it's cool. She's very sophisticated and smart, you know. She's in the stuff that's way over my head. Like the other night, she was like, I'm going to teach you all about feng shui, which is great because I love Asian food. So. It's not all fun and games being married to an older woman. I'll tell you, there'll be times when we're watching TV. And I'll be sitting on the couch holding her hand, looking over at her, and I'll think to myself, you are beautiful, but man, are you? A young guy. Got a lot of living left to do. 31 and she's like 32. It's not the worst part. My wife's a bed hog. My wife likes to sleep. Diagonally. Means that I get to sleep tragically. In the corner. With my feet in my hands. Which is fine, because every morning she runs to the kitchen to make us a pot of coffee. It's perfect. Because everybody knows that coffee cures scoliosis. We're on a different schedule for fooling around. I'll give you an example. I'm a guy. I like to fool around in the morning. And she's a woman, so she likes to fool around at night. We're both adults, so we've reached a compromise. We fool around at night. So let that be a lesson to you. Okay, now that we're close, tell a little bit about myself. I hate it when people are vague. Growing up wasn't easy. As a child, I was a paper boy. But eventually, I became a three-dimensional person. I know, it's real funny. Laugh. People used to fold me up, stick me in their pocket. Okay, sometimes when I come on stage, I get nervous. So I'm a little superstitious. What I like to do to break the ice is go ahead and read a fortune cookie. So if that's okay with everybody?
Yeah.
That is so true. Okay, let's get down to business. So I put my mom on spam blocker. It's a big deal. She deserved it. Somebody should have told her it's not cool to send me like 47 Jesus emails every single day.
You know, that was surprisingly funny. I didn't know that you were funny, actually. Why is he on? Is he on the show because you're funny? Now I remember.
Those are the allegations.
Those are the allegations. Well, they're true, I think.
Well, I appreciate it.
This is good. This is very good. And we can go back to the second half of the clip a little later.
Superb.
And then the third half after that.
And the exactly. Yeah, I like your math.
Yeah,
I like
three halves.
There's a lot of halves on there, so we'll just keep going.
How is everybody's drink?
Refreshed.
Refreshed?
Exciting.
Fine right now.
Time for another or no?
I'm okay. I'm holding ground.
I'm okay. Very good.
I'm still holding on to it.
Very good.
Holding
so,
on to it.
So, you know, what is it like being on stage, talking about your
oh, well, I could
life?
Go on about that for a minute, for a
well,
long,
yeah,
long time.
Well, yeah, you certainly could.
I mean,
if
I've been
anybody
on stage
actually
since they first
cared.
Started building stages.
I know you
back
were
in
on stage.
1400s.
You were on stage in the original
stage.
Production
of Julius Caesar.
The original production of The Importance of Being Earnest in 1895. But
I was there during Shakespeare's time too, and the Iliad, and Dante's Inferno. I'm a co-author of that. Did you know that? Of the Divine Comedy, yes.
You got
yes.
screwed. You should have gotten a percentage
got no
of that.
No royalties.
One of these days.
He's the ghostwriter.
One of these days. One of these days, I'll make
it. You wrote Ghost Rider? That's a really good movie.
Yeah, that is a good movie, yeah. Isn't that a movie that's out right now, Ghost Rider? Oh, there's my chopper. Bye.
It's coming up. Yeah. It's great.
So, yes, anyway, I think you were probably referring to Ralph. Being.
I actually was asking Ralph the question. I'm not really interested in anything you have to say.
And you are?
My name is Omar.
Oh, okay, good.
Yes.
Can you kind of have a little name tag there, because I'm kind of a little forgetful.
Yes, well, after 3011, now that you're telling the truth, one could hardly be surprised. But I was asking you a question about performing and, you know...
Sure.
You know, asking, actually using, you know, your personal life as humor. It's a little daring.
I guess so. I mean, I think you write things that are funny to you, and my personal life can be funny, but I don't know. I guess I'm more into concepts. I think that, like, if I'm really honest, I play a character on stage more than I play my real self.
Right.
So it's more just about finding things that are identifiable in my life that I can see in other people's lives, and then trying to translate it in a way that's funny to them. You know,
right.
But
right.
Yeah, I think. In the comedy world, all bets are off. If it's in your life, or if it's something that you invent, if it's funny to you, it's something you should pitch and try to get over, you know?
So, okay, pitch.
How's that?
That's great. I mean, you know, that's honest.
Great. Yeah.
So, do you feel... It's because you're playing a character, so you don't necessarily feel as naked as you might if you were just...
No, I mean, I
you
guess
said
that,
naked.
I guess there's
I
a
did.
Gamble in that you want people to laugh, obviously, but you want people to also kind of get on board with what you're saying. And there's always that: oh, are people going to think that this stupid idea that I scribbled in a notebook is funny? Mm. So, ultimately, that makes you a little raw when you're pitching the joke for the first, second, third time. But at a certain point, you're like, well, this is consistently working. So instead of worrying about it, you get into enjoying it and being like, well, can I time it better? Can I get the pitch more down the middle, if you will? You know, can I throw it for a better strike than last time?
It's interesting because, you know, comedians, stand-ups are self-directed. So there's essentially another process that goes on, unlike with an actor where there's somebody sitting there saying, that works, that doesn't.
Sure.
And you guys work things out together before it's in front of an audience.
Yeah, so it's a little harder to sort of assume, you know, there's very little sort of testing you can kind of do other than going out there kind of cold and just rehearse yourself.
Yeah, you know, I think
you kind of have to sort of assume that, trust the work, really, that it's going to translate.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that there's like, well, there's two things that I find really helpful. Obviously, number one is taking it out there and seeing if live audiences laugh at it, because there's nothing like playing the game.
Dead audiences wouldn't laugh at it, probably.
Yeah, clearly, they're not going to. But when they do, it's helpful.
Well, they might, actually. If you're funny enough, it's nice to have
they could
breathing.
Laugh.
Like, I mean, if you were to do your stand-up routine, we'll say at a funeral parlor or something,
right.
Or the city morgue or something.
Well, I did.
You may get a completely different reaction from
like
the audience.
Like where you do find a lot of your dates.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
Well.
But,
yeah, I like the submissive types. The passive submissive types, yeah.
I do think that similarly to athletics, though, when you watch the videotape back, it's like watching game tape, and you can see how you played and which plays are effective, which plays are not effective, and then you kind of work it out from there. But, I mean, as a comic, you have two different kinds of shows. You have your showcases or your main shows where you're really trying to give the audience the best possible show that you can, and then you have other types of shows that
like,
are more like
so like one would be like a showcase and the other one might be like a show valise or something, or a show trousseau as you like to, because you speak French,
a show suitcase
it's like a show suitcase.
It's like
and at the show suitcase is what I like to do is kind of you have an exchange rate of like one for you, one for me with the audience, where you're trying to give them a show, but you're also trying to develop the new material, right. And I think that's just part of the process.
I've always been fascinated by that, because I mean, you know, like, as I was saying, you know, with a director, you have time together, you have a perspective. You're essentially dividing yourself into two.
Well, I feel like it's almost more than that. You're wearing a lot of hats, because you're the writer,
writing as well.
You're also the director. You're also the performer. You're the editor. You have to wear a lot of hats in order to be a comedian. But
yeah.
But in a way, that's also what's great about it is that I mean, I enjoyed acting and I enjoyed music and I enjoyed a lot of other creative endeavors, but I think the comedy allows you to do all the different things that are exciting about being creative. You know, you get to do the work, you get to invent the work, you get to reflect on the work, you get to do all the different things that are creative about it instead of just one or two roles.
Right.
Which that's very, very, very deep.
Hey, thanks.
Or you might say, you know,
shallow, actually.
Narcissistic.
Self-absorbed, actually.
Yeah, very self-absorbed. Extremely.
Well, when you were talking, I was listening to...
All performers are self-absorbed, even if they're not narcissistic.
Even
the ones who continually...
Continually interrupting themselves and their own stream of thought.
Talk about everything.
I actually am here too. Hello, I'm the one behind the red mic.
I would say that if we divided up the speaking that's gone on tonight, you've done the majority of it. So,
well, the
let's just say
of the good parts.
Let's just say that
yours is gibberish.
You're a narcissist of the first order, and you've got 3,000 years of practice.
I wanted to ask you a question about you were mentioning something. I was kind of going in and out listening to you. I was kind of half listening.
Yeah,
here and there.
Again,
my hearing is going.
You are a classic case of narcissism going.
Yeah, you mentioned something about wearing a lot of hats, and
doesn't that get a little heavy or warm?
Then, yeah, no, that wasn't really the question.
Wear a lot
I've
of hats.
Forgotten the question.
Short answer: yes,
yes.
Yeah. You know, you wear a lot of hats. That was that's what I wanted to ask
you.
You answered. Okay,
but that's
you.
A that's fashion good, statement. Yeah. And what does that have to do with the work you do?
No, you were mentioning something about how you have to wear a lot of hats and you have to write and direct yourself. But at a certain point, if you are lucky enough,
are you speaking?
Are blessed, not in English. Nothing you'd understand because it's a little highbrow. I'm educated, you know.
You've got thousands of years.
You're from
experience.
The fields. Mm. Okay, so
I haven't spent a great deal of time in the fields.
So, the question was that later on. It's not really a question. It's more of a monologue.
Shall we begin
really,
to make animal references to your background?
We're good. Going back to the farm one more time.
Well,
because
it's it there, kid.
It's where I call home.
Yeah.
You can
away in the manger.
You can
a whole other context
away
when it
with
comes
the manger
to you. Now, could you make your point instead of being so goddamn verbose?
I'm trying to stop interrupting
boil
myself.
Boil it down to like maybe five words instead of 5,000.
I keep interrupting myself.
Yeah. Well, you
at a certain point,
flowery tale of that work.
I've got a flower, a wonderful thing. Everyone listens when I start to sing. Oh, that, anyway, so you were saying that you write all your own material, but at a certain juncture, were you to get very successful? I mean, people do have, like comedians have writers for things, like I'm sure like Robin Williams and whoever else. I mean, maybe they have the framework of what they want to talk about, but...
Those are talk show hosts. Most of the good stand-ups do their own material.
And you know this how?
Because I was one.
You were a stand-up comedian?
Yes.
Wow. When it was taken as a very much like, more serious sort of thing.
When people cared about the craft.
When the definition of comedy, when the definition of comedy back then was tragedy.
I guess what you mean is, would I have a writer? No, I don't think I would have a writer. I think they would really genuinely take the fun out of it. I mean, there's something about making it, making the bit that you anticipate people laughing, and if you're not making the work, I don't think it would be as fun to spring the trap, if you will. You know, like it's kind of like doing someone else's stuff. I feel like if someone else were to write for you, why don't you just be an actor because you're doing someone else's script or someone else's work? So. And,
Yeah,
it's the Andy Warhol thing. I'll sign that. And it'll become mine.
I don't understand.
That's what I'm saying. Is it really art?
Well, it might be art, but it doesn't necessarily mean...
Are you with us
mean...
tonight? You're like miles away.
No, I'm not.
Think you're
about,
talking
like, I think about what I just said and think about what you just said.
What did I just say?
You talked about having someone write something and then you sign off on it, essentially. And I said, yes, it's the Andy Warhol school.
Yeah, I just don't embrace that. That's not
for me. I'm saying I don't either. It doesn't make sense. I'm rejecting it is what I'm doing.
Well, for
you
example...
You just don't understand
For example, then I guess if you're going to take that route, as a comedian, were you to, we'll say, hook like a show, like a you're not a special, but say you were to be cast in a... comedic pilot or something like that, or given a role in a movie, you would be acting and it would be someone else's lines, but you would still have to be funny.
Well, I mean,
yes, that's a startling revelation. Go on.
I would hope that anybody who would pick me for creative work would pick me because they like what I do and I could lend my flavor to that or my take on it. But yeah, I mean, you got me. If it's somebody else's work, it's someone else's work, and all I could do is hopefully heighten it or
lower it, maybe
lower it, destroy it completely, make it a flop instantly.
Any ambitions? But, what are your ambitions? What are your
well?
Goals?
I have several. I mean,
okay, here we are again. The Peter Show, not the Peter and Omar Show. The Peter Show, no guests. Ralph.
Peter talks to himself.
What are your ambitions?
I don't know. I guess I would love to do an HBO special. I'd love to do national or international tours. I'd love to host Saturday Night Live. I would like to
host it or be a regular. Would you be a regular?
I don't think I would be a regular. I mean, I would be cool to come back on it and stuff, but I don't consider myself an actor. I consider myself a comedian, you know, as opposed to an actor or a comic. I feel like comics are guys who tell jokes and actors are guys who tell other people's lines. I feel like a comedian invents comedy.
But it seems like the inevitable fate of the successful stand-up is to wind up in...
Yeah, you're certainly not going to shy away from the bright lights where they hand it to
you. The ones that Lucifer will be shining in your way.
No, you know, I'm open to anything that's creative and that people are willing to invest real effort into. I feel like so much of it's just generated to create ticket sales or create hype or create... interest, but I think that in a time where content is sort of frowned upon or a second or third rate part of the work, I think I hold that at the forefront of what I'm doing. I want people to really understand that excellence is not worthless. Excellence is something to strive for.
I think that we're in an era where excellence that is more valuable than ever harder to find.
Excellence is mediocre at this point.
Clearly.
Yeah. Really
Peter is a perfect example of that.
Yeah. So in a way, the more mediocre you can be, the more excellent it actually is. Yeah,
well, the more sellable anyway.
So everything is a triumph. Everything is a triumph in mediocrity at this point. It really is.
Peter, another look really in the mirror.
Is.
Amazing.
It really is.
Go on.
You know, I mean.
Describe yourself to a please.
I really am talking about myself, but I mean, everything is kind of in the age we're living in. People do the most inane, banal, and mediocre of things.
Like that
and they
goddamn
kind of
movie
applauded.
Hangover. Excuse me, we talked about that. I mean,
the movie Hangover. Oh,
I thought
I
thought it was banal, and I didn't laugh. I didn't understand why other people laughed. I mean, I smiled. There were things that were amusing. Maybe it's because my life is so insane. I didn't think it was that funny.
I just feel like we're in a time where people sell personality as opposed to content, and I think that
it's true.
You can overcome that if you really strive. But I mean, we're at a point in comedy right now where, frankly, if you're wearing a well-cut pair of jeans and a T-shirt with a nifty slogan, and you have enough mousse in your hair, you might just get a deal.
He is a funny guy, though. Frank Lee. He is quite a funny guy.
Who's that?
Frank Lee.
Frank Lee.
Yeah.
He's Asian, right?
Yeah. He's a funny guy. He is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen his act. He's an opener.
He's honest.
He's no headliner. Yeah, I just think that, like I said, we sell more image than content right now. Right. And I think that, you know, it's cyclical, you know?
Do you think that given the sort of times we find ourselves in with the challenges we're facing that could change because of where we are, that people will lose interest in pure image like a Paris Hilton or something that's shimmering and
I think so.
Superficial.
Like I said, I think it's like cyclical. I think people are really fascinated with the internet right now, and if you have a presence, that's enough to be considered substantial, which I don't think is necessarily true, but is the perception right now. So if you have a presence, you're legitimate. I think at some point people are going to go, oh, well, a presence is not necessarily legitimacy. It's just taking up space, so to speak, and that.
Or we were in sort of that. I mean, not to keep going back to the Andy Warhol concept, but we are in the.
Well, you're the only one going back to it.
Well, yes, but I. Yeah. I'm speaking for myself, so okay. You know, there you have it. We are finally in an era where everyone can be famous for 15 minutes, and it actually.
But
is
what
possible.
Is 15 minutes? I mean, it's, 15 minutes is such
a blink. It's disposable,
like it's right.
And that's what I'm getting hour. At. It's a disposable. A very American form of fame, where
right.
we consume
TV
it, we're
rest,
fascinated
right.
by it, and then we're done with it.
Sure,
and it doesn't really translate past a certain amount of time because it's been had.
Sure, but I mean, maybe I'm naive, or you know, maybe I am.
But I'm saying those kinds of people are not the kind of people you were talking about that actually work to develop.
No,
craft.
I think the cream rises. I think ultimately the cream rises, and I think that
donut you know, though.
100 years. I mean, here we are in 2009, and we talk about, you know, what's substantial from 100 years ago, people like P.T. Barnum or the Marx Brothers, are people who really left an indelible mark right. on entertainment. And I mean, there were how many thousands of acts touring around the country and the world at that time, and a handful of them are memorable. You
well,
know,
no, someone once made the statement that culture is what's left when the garbage is washed away. And
yeah,
that's what happens. I mean, you know, time... And occasionally we're wrong. I mean, people do reevaluate. I shouldn't say wrong, but occasionally we reevaluate something
sure.
that we overlook, or something that's found to be more valuable after the author.
But a lot of it is, as
died.
You say, a lot of it is definitely done in hindsight with the you know, removed, you know,
right.
20, 30 years
Absolutely.
Down the line.
You have to kind of remove
it back
and realize
what
it's
actually
tends
about. To the substantial stands the test of time.
Sorry.
As well, you know.
Well, I mean, I highly doubt that Van Gogh or Gauguin were the most popular painters in their time. I think it took years.
Well, Van Gogh, as we know, was completely undervalued until
right.
he died.
Absolutely,
and
he wore earrings a lot, didn't he?
Now they're saying that he cut off. He didn't cut off his own ear. It was actually cut off by.
I heard that by Gauguin, right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. By who?
By Gauguin,
the tattoo
jealousy.
Artist.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and that was, you know. I mean, can you imagine, though, having your ear sliced off in the 19th century? That must have gotten pretty
Well, I mean, what's crazy
nasty.
About that is if that is true, then what a buddy that he would cover it up so he wouldn't get prosecuted for that.
Right,
you know?
Right. I need friends like that.
That's
Peter,
true friendship.
Are you listening?
Yeah, there's a couple of sharp knives right behind
I've
you. I could do a number on your ears
one
right
in my
now.
Hand right now. I'd like to shear both of your ears off.
Yeah, yeah,
and
followed by your eyes.
Use them. Well, that would be sort of one of those... mm-hmm. That's kind of coming from the whole Sophocles, you know. You know.
Sophocles, please.
Didn't know he
Who's he, Sophocles?
You were there with him when he wrote those
yeah,
plays.
Yeah, but I told you my memory is for shit. I mean, for poo-poo.
I like
for
how you...
I love the Sphinx.
I like how you NC-17 that real quick.
I totally, yeah.
You know,
so
I don't know
that's
why,
how I am. I'm
you know,
quick. I'm
really
quick like that.
Honestly, there's no reason to hold back. We're on the internet. Say what you want. Say what you mean. Mm-hmm. Use the language that works for you.
Thank you, I will.
Please. I know, I'm in a weird serious mood tonight.
Yeah, it's all right.
Will we listen to another clip? Or is it too early?
I think...
I love clips.
We
can
probably... it'll give me time to run into the toilet and, you know...
yeah,
have a visit,
like I said.
A visitation.
Visitazione.
Have a big old dump in your toilet.
Superb.
Please, my home is not equipped for that sort of thing.
Okay, let's get down to business. So I put my mom on spam blocker. It's a big deal. She deserved it. Somebody should have told her it's not cool to send me like 47 Jesus emails every single day. I'm pretty confident these emails are not authentically from Christ.
that that giveaway is the outline of an angel. I got a feeling this will pop for a decent graphic designer. Well, it bugged me. I'm not very religious. I just pray when I want stuff. I don't think that's the same thing. Okay, we having fun so far? Awesome. You guys are having half as much fun as me? I'm having twice as much fun as you. So I guess I'm winning. So, I don't mean to make this a competition. Okay! Who's excited about crime? Yeah! Okay, so it's unanimous, we all love crime. Why not? It's all on TV, right? There are CSIs and Golden Girls. You know what show I hate? Is that America's Most Wanted? Great, you catch the bad guy. How come every composite sketch you ever show looks exactly like me? And you get rid of all my sunglasses. These sweatshirts. Ski masks. Alright, you guys are a cool crowd. I'm glad you laughed with the comedy jokes, right? Makes me insecure when people don't laugh. I don't let it bother me. I think of being insecure is part of human nature. I bet you 4,000 years ago, right before they rush into battle, tribal warriors would look at each other and be like, hey, is my makeup scary? Okay. You may find this hard to believe, but I haven't always been a comedian. Before I was a comic, I was actually a member of the world's oldest profession.
Oh, mine isn't, though.
As a witch doctor. Like Stephen in the grass skirt, so yeah, become an inventor. I'm good at that. But I'm the proud creator of the windproof kite. I got the candy toothbrush. And of course, I got that machine that rewinds your DVDs before you return them, so I'm gonna be rich.
All right.
Yes, you're about to say something. You're saying a lot with your eyes.
I was saying a lot.
You're saying a lot with your eyes, but very little with your mouth right now.
Yes, well, that's what I know how to do. But no one can see me.
Yes, that's the beauty of radio.
This is awesome. This is great. So this is great. This is great. And so talk to us a little more about the process. I mean, we were getting into the whole idea of the multiple layers of what a comedian has to do.
Layer cake.
Layer cake.
Layer cake.
Velvet layer cake.
Velvet layer cake.
Layer cake, yeah. It's kind of
like, but it's done well. When it's not, it's just
layer cake is also
sloppy.
Really
it's
nice.
A mess.
It's a good wine. It's a
just
wine
a sloppy
too,
mess.
Layer cake is a really nice wine.
It is very nice wine.
I couldn't have said it better
as
myself.
As is the cigarette. Cigarette is another great prop on radio too.
Indeed,
it really is.
Well, there was that.
Yeah, that whole thing. The glasses.
Yeah.
So I wanted to. Did you ask him a question?
No, I was just making a little statement. Okay. Getting back to the sort of where we were before, and then sort of condemning this Warholian era that we're in, and saying that we were a bit bored with the sort of superficial talent. You know, I'm not condemning all of it. I mean, it has its place, I suppose. It's like fast food or cheap perfume, or you know.
Yeah, fascinating. Let's move on. Let's go on from there.
Candy.
Kind of like
cheap candy.
Not really interesting.
You eat enough of it, you get sick of it, you don't ever want to see it again.
I'm not going to have you talk about candy.
You're not going to have me talk about what?
I'm not going to have you talk that way about candy.
All right. No, I'm talking about cheap, dirty candy.
Who are some of your influences, Ralph, in the great comedy deities down through the years, my dear?
I guess
the Noel Cowards, the Molly Sugdens, the John Inmans, the Captain Peacocks of the 1940s and 50s. Do you know any of these good people, my dear? Because I certainly do. All of them.
Well, I'd say I definitely... growing up, I was really influenced by Steve Martin and by Emo Phillips. I thought those guys were terrific. And
is that where the... You know, I'm very confused.
The term emo?
The term emo comes from?
Yeah, like my teenage
friend. That tall, skinny guy with the floppy hair.
That
is him.
That's him. And that's where whole generation of kids that are called emo kids, that's the same.
I think he should get a piece of the action. They should pay
him.
He was actually a very funny guy.
Very funny.
Very funny guy.
Yep. My teenage friends are always talking about being like
emo. He still performs. I saw him perform, I want to say, a year and a half or 2 years ago. And he was incredible. He went on stage and he took a stack of paper and a paper shredder and went on stage and said, "This stack of paper on every page is a joke that I've told that hasn't worked. So tonight, I'm going to tell them all again. And if you laugh, then I keep it. And if I don't, then I shred it." And he went through his whole set.
That's
awesome.
That's
pretty funny. It
was that's really drastic.
That's
so
clearly, it's a built-in laugh, the whole thing.
It was amazing.
Everything is a built-in laugh. You have to laugh at
it. Was,
yeah.
Oh, I it love was truly
it. Laugh the joke and laugh at him shredding.
I'm
going
to have to try that at the next party that I go to.
Yeah.
But, I remember I went on a family shredding. Vacation. And it was like the typical nightmare family vacation from hell. And I had a cassette tape that had him and Kinnison and Junie Tenuta on it. And
you know, my parents used to take me to the Ring of Kerry when I was a young boy. Yeah, again, out to one of the kind of
county
farms.
Yeah.
But I remember
in the manger.
I remember not really loving the Tenuta stuff, although I think she's funny, and Kinnison I thought was funny, but I really connected with the way that emo played with words and concepts and thought, this guy's really onto something. But I like Steve Martin, I like emo, I love both Groucho and
emo.
I love emo.
It's nicer.
Shoegazer.
It's nicer too, yeah.
Emo instead of Omar.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge fan of the Marx Brothers, both Groucho and Harpo.
All four of them, yeah. Now, there were three or four of them.
There are actually five of them.
Five of them, right? Yeah.
Are they all? They're all still
Groucho,
alive.
Groucho.
No, I think they're all in the grave.
Groucho,
Harpo.
Groucho.
Harpo, Groucho, Chico, Zeppo, and Gummo.
Is Harpo.
And then there was Carl, who invented the political system, which we all admire so well.
You know, it's funny that we laugh about that, but...
No, but is Harpo now, is he related to...
He's related
is
to
he related
Oprah.
To Oprah
Winfrey, yes.
Oprah
her,
Winfrey, Harpo
her,
Studios.
He's her half-brother.
Is that the same thing?
He's her half-brother.
That's where I was with half-brother. Okay, yes. I get that whole thing.
Yeah, you understand.
So he started Harpo
Oprah
Studios.
Oprah Winfrey,
was, is the
Harpo
son.
Marx, and Karl Marx are all
are
from
all
the same family.
From the same family.
And that's
okay.
why she's so wealthy, because all the money that Karl Marx siphoned off from the people is now
her
bank account in Santa Barbara.
It's a whole fucking ruse. That she came from rags to riches.
Dude,
she was fucking wealthy from day
full
one.
Of shit.
That bitch. Jesus.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm pretty sure that you just called Oprah a man, and you should be more careful.
Oprah's not a man. Oprah's not a man. She's the brother, sister of
Karl
one
Marx.
Of the Marx brothers.
The Jungian, Karl Marx. The Jungian sister of
is the one
Karl
that
Marx.
Originated the family fortune.
You know what's funny is that in the 30s, when the United States actually recognized the USSR as a country, Harpo was the first American entertainer to perform in the USSR.
That's fascinating.
Wow, that's really incredible.
Which brings the Marx thing back again.
Yeah.
Right. That's
See, there was the theory. They
there
went to visit their brother. They went to visit their brother, and that's where she was born.
Wow. Now, has she ever had them on as guests on her show?
She really ought to.
Mm-hmm. She really needs to bring them back somehow.
I think they're
I'm sure if she's that powerful, she could probably...
They're recurring
push
guest
some,
stars.
Push some daisies.
With scripted. They have scripted material, though.
She's exhumed them all.
Exhumed.
But, you know,
from
modern, she's got all these miracles and things that she can do.
James von Prague and herself could
she's
kind of
like,
bring
you
them
know,
back.
Almost like a goddess herself. She can make them rise from the dead and then...
Kill them. Have them killed the
have
following
them write
morning.
Books and then put them on her bestseller list.
Yeah.
Make even more money.
Yeah, exactly. Like she did with...
And Carl can handle the finances.
No trials. So Groucho Marx and Harpo and Chico and Cheech and Chong. Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin.
Let's say another one of them.
Another part of the family.
Another part of the family. Okay,
And the Baroness von
Zeppelin. And then the Zappas, because they used that name.
Baroness von Zeppelin was not amused by the use of Led Zeppelin to the name for a rock band.
So they changed it to Zappa.
People tell me that Ahmet Zappa is my doppelganger. So
I can see the resemblance.
Yes.
Yeah. I can.
Doppelganger. I've always liked that word, doppelganger.
So you're related to all these people as well. Okay. So he's part of the royal Illuminati bloodline.
Illuminati. Illuminati. Si. You see, in Italian, there's you know, there's the A and the there's
and
the
it
A
relates
and the,
back to Latin.
The A and the O, and then the plural are the E and the I. So it's like ragazzo, and then the plural would be ragazzi. But if you're talking about girls, Illuminato.
So we're in the presence of an
Illuminato.
Illuminati. We can't say Illuminati, though. Like to say that in the United States.
Well, they say it in the Valley. They say Illuminati.
Illuminati.
Illuminati, yeah.
Exactly. Illuminati. Illuminati. Right. They like to say Franz instead of Franz.
Franz instead of Franz.
So basically, we're in the presence of someone from the Illuminati.
Ralph is part
yes,
of that
part
whole,
of that bloodline.
Part of that whole bloodline.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, I'm a Mason. When we go to see angels and demons, it's really about your family. Got it.
Yeah, actually, I'm just related to Tom Hanks.
I'm figuring the whole
oh,
thing
really?
Out.
Oh, really? Do you know his son, Colin, recently got engaged to his publicist, and we all know what that's about, as you were saying the other day.
Keep it in the family, baby.
Keep it in the family, yes. Yeah. He's quite a consummate actor in his own right, Colin Firth.
Yes.
By consummate, do you
but
mean
like
self-consuming?
Or bloodline of angels and demons. I mean,
constipated, I think, is the word
that?
I was actually going for.
Yeah.
He's quite a constipated actor, is what he is.
Quite. Quite. Yes. This is all becoming much clearer to me now.
So, let's go back to comedy for a minute.
Yeah, but I wanted to understand how you feel.
Okay, you go ahead, because
auspicious
it's all about
bloodlines.
You.
And of course it is. Mm-hmm. It's my turn now.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Auspicious is a word that's over my head.
Okay, important.
Stand up a little bit. Stand up.
Stand up.
Stand up. It won't go over your head.
Footstool.
It'll hit you right in the chest.
You need a footstool, a royal footstool. I'm saying, you know, you're related to, you know, Oprah Winfrey, to Karl Marx. How does it feel, you know, Amit Zappa? I mean, it's amazing.
It's great. That's we all used to take baths as children. It was
really?
Great.
Was that
it was
hot?
Great. No, it was.
You guys are young.
It was innocent.
It wasn't really. It was innocent. Okay. Like, but I said earlier, children were not innocent.
Did you guys say sheep?
They're just young.
Did you say sheep?
You were thinking sheep.
Oh,
you
thought
of yeah, that was just in your... You interjected
bathing, that. You heard the word manger
was,
earlier.
That was...
it triggered,
sorry,
it triggered
I'm
sense of memory.
Also, of your imagination.
You smelled the mutton and your sense of memories kicked in.
Yeah.
I know, mutton, sweetie. Mutton, it's okay. Yeah, it's I know okay. what it was like back okay. there in Greece on the hills with those sheep.
Yeah, it wasn't Greece, actually. It was the British Isles, my dear.
Ooh.
It was the British Isles.
You've gotten around.
Back in the dark 40s and 50s when, you know...
Which
40 BC or
the 1340s and the 1340s and the 1750s? Is
when you're writing
about.
The Iliad, yes.
Mm. Yeah, coal writing.
Coal
writing. I'm not taking
ghost
all
writing.
The ghost writing. The Iliad, yes.
Ghost whisperer
with Homer Simpson,
amongst other skills.
Yeah.
How you doing, Lady Ghost?
Now, do you do any character voices? I mean, the one you're using right now—that's your own voice you're using, is it, or is that something that you've thought up, or?
I've been working on this voice
for all your life.
33 years.
Wow.
That's amazing. It's really kind
it's
of
really fluid, actually. It's very
but I'm
fluid.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Practice it
use
daily.
The real one, please.
It's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do characters.
Can't speak.
I don't do characters or impersonations or anything.
Come on. Everyone does one. Do it.
I truly don't.
Yeah, okay. Just let's
okay, I'll do
one,
mine.
Then. Okay, I'll do one.
I'll do one for you. I'll do Jane Eyre for you. Jane Eyre's pretty funny.
He's scripted. He's totally scripted.
He's Andy Warhol. His stuff is scripted and he stamps it.
But right? Apparently he's got a pretty decent sort of like live act that is very much
his
more
live racy
than
his live act is excellent. You know, he
really
performs every single Sunday. He performs at the Hermosa Comedy Club. And
yeah,
I have to give him credit because as much as a guy who... That guy doesn't have to go out and work at all. He could have his writers do his thing.
Yeah,
but he still... goes and pounds it in the club.
So
he's kind of he's kind of a chin above the rest of them, really, isn't he?
I think he's got three or four chins.
Three or four
above.
Different chins, yeah.
But, yeah, give him credit. I mean, that guy's a hard worker, so.
Yeah, well, it's easy to work hard when you earn $25 million a year. You know.
Granted,
you
that's
know.
True.
Yeah.
No contest.
It helps you focus.
I guess that helps get you to work,
yeah,
right?
It's like, okay, I'll do that. Yeah, sure, I'll work
I
real hard for that money. Yeah.
Driving on the 101 and the 170 in his classic cars all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm.
With a chin, like with he wears a chin strap, doesn't he?
He does.
He does, yeah.
Well, otherwise,
double
it would
chin
interfere
strap,
with the ability to navigate.
Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin.
But he is a genuinely funny man. He is.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, they're all kind of a little, you know, dull and. You know, watered down for television purposes.
Family style, right.
Family style. Like the Lettermans. And even there was an era when, like, Conan O'Brien, one of my, you know, ancestors, direct ancestors, or pre-ancestors. What happens when they come after you?
They're your...
Descendant.
They're descendant. Okay, thank you, yeah. Yeah.
You should know you've got millions of...
Man, I know words.
Let's have that word. Can you spell that word out for us, descendant?
I'm sure I can't.
Okay, let's give it a try. Let's give it a try. Starts
okay.
with a D.
D-S- C-E-N-D-A-N-T?
D-S-C-E-N-D-A-N-T.
So you think you can Descendants? You know the show, so you think you can dance?
So when you... Okay, so this is one of those Oprah Winfrey things where she brings people back from the dead.
Don't make fun of Oprah. It's going to do your show.
They can pick their descendants out.
Yeah,
that would be really good.
I'm lost. What did you say?
I got all distracted. You started picking on Oprah. It's like picking on Scientologists. Oh, you're going to fuck your show.
Fine.
Up
she loves me. Fuck all the time. So, you know, I was saying that Oprah, I was suggesting this to her this morning. You can bring people back from the dead and they can pick out who their descendants are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we kind of covered that topic. And I think really, I too kind of feel that that's just sort of like stirring the pot just a little kind of too much. You're putting kind of the wrong vegetable into it.
I don't know. This is the 21st century with technology and adoption. You can kind of pick your descendants.
That's what I'm saying. They might be really surprised. You know, a plantation owner could find out that, you know, some of his descendants might be.
Plantations? Are you suggesting that we...
Look, you know, we're going down a whole other route. You know what I mean? If we're going to go down that route, we need to
digging people up from the 1780s and showing them who some of their descendants could be. You never know.
I don't think they're interested.
Well, they would be interested when they woke up and found out where they were.
I don't think they're waking up.
Oh, I think that Oprah can do it.
Well, I think it's going to be very... It's going to be very interesting in, you know, a couple of hundred years from now, or maybe two generations from now, when the likes of the Angelina Jolies and Brad Pitts and the Madonnas and all those that have adopted all these foreign children from nations all over the globe, that they kind of are in...
Right, so like Zoom John Voight's grandfather.
Into the
he'll
kind of
shot to like, sees these,
you know what
children.
I mean? Their grandchildren are going to have this weird sort of dichotomy or trichotomy of... trifecta of ancestors that were going to be from all these weird strange places, but it's not actually a bloodline, but yet is it ancestry, you know?
Well,
what I mean? I don't, yeah,
I think it's all bullshit. Your parents got it on and you are who you are, and everybody else before that is
go
like,
fuck them,
right?
Go fuck them.
Well, no, it's all relevant. It's,
I mean, there's a part of every one of us really that wished we were adopted by other people, isn't there? Really?
Not anymore. I used to.
Really? I think as a child, definitely.
I kind of that in the
1700s. I kind of remember that as a child. Not really adopted, but I remember looking at photographs of my
parents.
Was
that when you were doing the Clan of the Cave Bear?
Yeah.
Your mom and your dad were there in their furs.
It was called Year One. There's a movie out about it now. Yeah.
So essentially, you're endorsing classism? Is that where we're getting at?
Absolutely. Right. I mean, classism really needs to be brought back. Absolutely.
Right. I think it would. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in the room with two of you.
I know exactly.
So bring this back. I could
I know exactly where I
would
stand. Things
would be much more appropriate, my dear.
People would know their station in life.
Indeed.
If you know what I mean.
If you would be waiting.
Been rising
right now,
up, you know.
Dear.
Yeah. My dear, you are a friend.
Yes. Now, back to the comedy.
Sure.
Rock and roll, any relationship? Your photo is very daring.
Yeah, I think rock and roll and comedy are definitely related, for sure.
How so?
Well, I mean, the origins of rock and roll are speaking your mind and self-origination and not being a copycat. And I think, like...
Self-origination.
Yeah, I think so. You invent yourself, you know? And I think the comedy's like that, where you take your own ideas and you step out and you put it on the line and people either embrace it or they don't. But ultimately, I don't go home at night feeling bad whether or not people laugh. I go home feeling bad if I didn't do my thing,
right,
so to speak. You know?
I think that's an interesting path.
It's always important to do your thing at least once or twice a day anyway.
Twice.
Important. Otherwise, you might become
a little
violent.
That's why they have the internet.
Yeah. I do it at least once in the morning and once in the
evening. You should, because you might become a little violent in public if you don't.
So I won't forget, you know. I won't forget where it is.
But to tell you the truth, like I said, like I don't really worry about whether or not people laugh. I think that if I run the course and I do my thing, like, people will laugh and people will embrace it, and that's been the result.
And you learn from it. But I think that it's an interesting path that you put yourself on. It's very challenging. It is very individual. It is not like, I mean, even though there obviously are other comedians, you are on a path where you are only competing with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to get better is for you to keep challenging yourself.
For sure.
And I think that's very daring and very admirable.
Well, people say stuff like, well, do you do the same jokes every night, or do you do the same set? And it's like, I actually use the metaphor that it's like being in a band where you're like, you have your songs that you play, but does that mean you play the same group of songs every night? No, I mean, you play some of the hits that people like, but at the same time, you have to do new material. And
there's a relationship to the audience, the problem that changes the chemistry.
It's always,
very
palpable. Always different. When you're really, you've got a full house or an empty house or a half full house.
Sure.
It's all very different. It's like it's like being on stage.
I mean, the last week alone
is 8 nights a week for like 6 months on end.
Right.
I mean, there's a different energy every night, even though it's kind kind of the same.
This past week alone has been crazy. I played to 250 people in the main room at the Comedy Store this past week, and it was awesome and destroyed. And four
was
nights
this
before,
during business hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
For sure. For sure.
Okay, yeah.
And then, yeah, I snuck them in. No, but four nights before that, I was at the USA Hostel in Hollywood doing a workout show where I was testing new material, and I literally played in front of seven people, and five of them barely spoke English, and I still got laughs. I changed my tactics and did physical humor and did different things than I would do at the Comedy Store.
That's great. That's
this?
A challenge.
At the USA Youth Hostel in Hollywood, like on Selma, you know?
Okay, yeah. So that's a hostel for wayward indigent foreigners who have lost their way and stumbled upon lost
for illegitimate
forced to watch comedians.
Forced to watch comedians.
Right.
It's part of the package when they're in Bosnia or Herzegovina, they buy their tickets.
They're released.
And then they're
released. And part of their ticket when they fly over or swim over or however they come over.
You're going to be forced to watch comedy and scrub dishes.
Yeah, I saw shackles on them.
That's nice. That's good.
But that's all I mean is like, you know, different rooms and different tactics and stuff.
But I think it's interesting to actually find a way to make your comedy transcend the barrier of language. I think that's really kind of an incredible challenge.
You know, a lot of people, I think that people are like, oh man, I don't want to do that room, or I'm scared of that, but I'm not scared of that. I think that the goal is not to necessarily do the things that you plan on doing. The goal is ultimately to make them laugh. It's not even to tell the jokes that you've written. The goal of a comedian, and that's the difference between a comedian and a comic. A comic says the words. A comedian invents things that are funny for an audience, you know?
I think we've mentioned this before. I mean, you know, and then you look at someone like Charlie Chaplin, whose work still moves people.
Yeah, and the guy never said a word.
Out of the theater, usually, because they're bored of this.
Well, no, I don't agree. I think Charlie Chaplin is amazing. I remember being introduced to him as a child.
Absolutely.
And, well, okay, I wasn't that young, but Sir Charles was very amusing, and we always loved his work. And
Sir Charles.
Well, that is his real name now.
Oh, his real name is Sir Charles.
Yeah. Well, he became Sir Charles.
And his daughter is quite mad, isn't she? Una. Is it Una or Anna? Does he have a son too, Ben, or is it his grandson?
I don't know if Ben Chaplin is related to
I think
or
he
not.
Might
I'm
be.
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
No? He's a British actor, so that's what I thought.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm not into other people's stuff, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, Peter likes to get up in people's business.
He's related to Charlie from... Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I think, actually. Mm-hmm. It's the same Willy Wonka. Actually.
Same family,
yeah.
Well, no, then Johnny Depp is then a cousin of his, yeah. Okay, so now that's becoming clear. So
once again, choosing your descendants,
I guess. See, it's a great show.
Circle, yeah.
We're all related to everyone.
Yeah. Well, there was only two parents originally,
so
as we know.
So they say, the incest
Adam
clearly
and
occurred.
Eve.
Incest clearly occurred for quite some time, if this is to be believed.
Until she took that nasty fruit and all hell broke loose since then. You know?
It has to be symbolic, because if two people created the rest of the population,
we'd all be inbred mutts. But looking across this table, that may be evident.
There's only one of us here, and we know it ain't me and Ralph.
Ralph and I.
No, it isn't
well
me.
Well said.
No, it ain't me, and it ain't Ralph.
No, it's well.
It's actually correct.
No. Ain't?
It ain't I.
Ain't I?
It ain't me.
Ain't I something grand?
Let me put it this way.
Ain't I something big?
Let me put it this way.
I could have been something real.
I don't refer to myself as I, it's me.
I before me, except after C. You're thinking of the word receive and deceive and believe is what you're
thinking.
Listen,
bitch.
Listen, bitch, there's no E and I.
Got the fake grammar lessons.
The Frammer.
Yeah.
I love Frammer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now,
Kelsey Frammer is a great comedian.
I'm thinking that we're meandering just a little bit
really
off course
funny.
Right now.
Like
Kelsey
him.
Frammer is amazing.
Kelsey Frammer is great.
I think
yes.
he's one of my distant cousins, too.
Yeah.
So let's have another clip. What do we say?
All right, clip it up.
Or should we slap ourselves
Let's slap
first?
Someone instead of having
is
a clip.
Is there more?
Let's slap the engineer.
There might be. I don't know.
I think you played it all.
I think you played it all.
I think
we did. Wow. I can do a monologue if you'd like.
I think you've been doing that. You've been tempted to do that since we started. I'd rather... Refrain.
Okay.
You must have a few intelligent questions for our guest, Rafe, here.
I've already asked myself them and decided that he probably didn't have the chops to answer them, so I refrained from posing them.
I appreciate you
I'd
taking
rather,
the pressure
I'd rather
off.
Have them sort of dumbed down, you know, so that both of you could understand what was going
That's
on.
That's true. Well, you know, yeah. I need...
well, I kind
I need
of,
another drink,
I,
really.
I wanted to sort of ask you a question which has always been on my mind about... there's very little on my mind right now, but about comedians and the idea of the fat and the jolly comedian. And I don't mean to be looking straight across the table at you when I'm saying this at all.
My dear, I was looking into a mirror.
I just happened to be looking at you when I was saying it, but I wasn't actually addressing you.
You could just as well be looking in a mirror. Considering that slouch in that belly. But go on.
Again, the beauty of radio.
And you are the radio's greatest beauty.
I'm radio's greatest beauty, is that what you said?
Yes,
you.
I did.
Okay. The beauty of the airwaves. So what is this sort of myth about fat comedians being funnier than
they die earlier? That's for damn sure.
They die earlier, and is there any truth to the fact that they're miserable bastards off stage? And either of you can answer that question.
Yeah, I think comedians. I think, you know, are fat people funnier than skinny people?
I won't take the bait.
Shame we're on radio. It's such a shame we're on radio. If I could have captured that look in your eye.
300 pounds. It's a little difficult. Huh. Take you seriously.
But anyway, Ralph.
I don't know that heavy people are funnier than skinny people. I don't know that that's true. But
visually, they certainly are.
I guess so.
Heavier people are visually funnier? Okay.
There it is.
Yeah. And you mean they use their physical body to be funny? Is that what you mean? Oh, okay.
I just think all
know. All of it.
Stop bouncing that joke back over here.
It's not hard.
It's sitting in your corner on that chair.
I think not.
It's not moving.
I think not, Chunko.
It's an immovable feast.
I just think I don't know that funny people, fat people or heavy people are funnier than skinny people or whatever. I don't know. But I think all comedians have something that they're trying to prove or overcome. That's what I mean. I think all comedians are kind of unhappy or unsatisfied on some level. And that's why they grab the mic and go out there and talk, because they're trying to prove something.
Let's do a little test then. Why don't you tell a joke and you tell the same joke and we'll see which one we laugh at the most.
Why don't we do this? What's your dissatisfaction? I wanted to know what his dissatisfaction was. I'm not a comedian.
Huh?
Can you talk about what you're dissatisfied with?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess I guess I'm unhappy, or not unhappy, but like I left college.
Tell us everything, Ralph.
I will. I'll bare my soul. I left college early, and I think that on some level, you know, you want to prove yourself as smart enough and capable enough, and I think that's why I chose the type of comedy that I choose, is more like conceptual, or like, I guess, word or concept oriented, as opposed to I don't do dirty comedy or political comedy or racial comedy. I don't do a lot of the stuff that people explore, because that's not interesting to me. That's not my cross to bear or my beef. My beef is more about proving myself as an intellectual person. So I do concepts, you know.
But, you know, think about it this way. In an era like this, where taking a conventional middle-class approach to life and studying and doing things conventionally is not providing any security for anybody, you're probably better off, you're probably better prepared to live your life than a lot of the people who took a more conventional path.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I think you can look around and see the question, really.
I just think at this point, there's such a glut of college-educated people, if you will, or like people with degrees or whatever, and there's a lack of jobs. And I think that the innovative mind will always overcome the trained mousetrap-type mind, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's my thing. I think that creativity trumps information.
Yeah, I think so too, for sure.
Because creativity takes information, it takes
observation. But that said, I think that
and makes something out of it. I'm not devaluing information.
That's what I mean. I think there is a certain intrinsic value to training and to preparation. But I think that is wasted if you're not creative enough to
make it your own. You got to take all that information and go out and create something new.
Right, I agree.
You should try that, Peter.
Yeah.
I guess the best of both worlds would be someone who is trained and also is innovative, but I find that sometimes training can strip your innovation, and sometimes innovation can deprive you of the training. And I think I'm in the second category, where I was trying to make something different the whole time, so I was like, I can't stay on the grid, I guess, or in training, you know? And I guess that is, you asked me, that's where my beef is, I guess, is I'm trying to make something out of
nothing. Does that come from your family or the expectations of your upbringing, or is that your own?
It's from me. I mean, I guess I feel like I let myself fall short in that level. But, I mean, it's not like I left to float around in the world. I left school to be an actor in a theater company, and I left that to become a comedian. So it's all been linear or logically, there's been steps to it, but there's still a feeling of incompletion that I'm trying to validate, I guess, you know.
Well, you're creating your own world, though, and
don't put your daughter on the stage,
you hitting your own marks, and you'll know when those happen.
Yeah, that's how I feel. That's how I feel. I am definitely making my own rules and hitting my own marks, and I'm happy with what I'm doing. But in the embryonic or early stages, I guess, like I did have worry about, like, man, I got to make something out of this. It didn't work out in another area, so let's create something good out of that shortcoming. You know. Now you make me feel all fucking limp. Thanks.
No, not at all.
Between the limp and the shortcomings and everything else, I mean, you know,
okay, the symbolism is really, you know, pretty vivid, even for the radio audience. But I think that what I'm trying to say is that actually I'm saying the opposite. Conventional people are having a harder time than people who have chosen an unconventional path right now.
I think
this
so.
This is a time where people who have challenged themselves to push themselves to create individual, new, fresh things actually can thrive.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of weaknesses being shown in a lot of conventional people's
lives. Well, look
lives.
At just for example, look at what's one of the best paying jobs in the world right now? Website designer.
Pope.
You know what? Pope. But a website designer doesn't even need a degree. They need creativity and know-how.
They
you
need
know?
Creativity and know-how. So, but I think that's true of anything. I mean, really, when you think about
but
it,
if you,
I was
you
looking
know,
at an article.
Yeah.
May I finish, Peter, please?
You may, well, you've been talking for quite a while now. Luckily, it hasn't been recorded. But, you know, it's interesting. We're living in a time where the younger generation are now instructing the older generation.
Oh,
things.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of the way it is completely turned around now.
Absolutely.
The kids in the 20s and 30s
that's true.
Are now informing their bosses, immediate bosses, which puts them into this weird sort of like power sort of game now where they're actually going in interviewing for jobs where they actually have more knowledge, more technical know-how,
sure.
which is the wave of the future, than their bosses who are earning, you know,
that does not, however, negate experience.
No, I understand that, but it puts them like in the market in the world we're living in today. No, the seat you're sitting on right now is a commode. You can go to the bathroom on that seat.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's great.
We won't look.
We'll, just flat
yeah,
down.
Yeah.
Why don't we take a moment to think about our next question?
Okay.
Yeah, perfect.
Because a friend of mine in Seattle was making this point. We were talking actually about that very point about fat people versus thin people. And it seems like the...
And you know about being thin?
You know about...
No, you don't know.
The demographic will say on the seaboards, on the Atlantic side and on the Pacific side, people in larger metropolitan areas, people tend to be generally skinnier. But the further in you go, this is the way she put it, the further in you go, the further out they go.
It's true. No, it's true.
Know,
it's so an it's interesting
kind of
thought.
First,
yeah.
of, like, no, first of all, urban people walk more. They're moving more. And even if they eat the beastly American diet, they work it off to some degree. But even if you look at Manhattan, you get to the outer boroughs, people get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You get to the deep suburbs, they get even bigger. You get to the central part of the of they America,
bigger.
They are huge.
So the further in you go, the further out they go.
Yes, I think she summed it up very beautifully.
Yeah.
But of course, I mean, we're talking about a culture where people live on, you know, liters of soda on a daily basis.
Like I said, I think it's like the last safe target because it hits every demographic, you know? Like, I think
and it's funny, and I guess, but not to interrupt
demophatic.
You, but I find it interesting that the culture has always used the fat as a target, but now the culture has become so fat. And it remains a target as if they're not fat.
I think
so
just people are judgmental enough to be like, oh, they're talking about them, not about
not
me.
Them, not about me.
Right.
Right. Even though it's like they waddle to the kitchen and go and get some more hot wings out of the refrigerator.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's okay with laughing at everyone else as long as the spotlight is not put on them directly.
Exactly.
And the only people that are allowed to laugh, like homosexuals are allowed to laugh at themselves, you know, black people are allowed to laugh at themselves, fat people, white people, whatever it is, whatever
sure.
demographic you're actually in yourself, you're allowed to make fun of yourself.
Right.
See,
but
if someone else comes out and kind of does it to you,
disagree.
It's kind of like,
I think you can laugh at everyone if the approach is not one of a presumption of denigration. I think there's funny. There's humor.
Yeah, I mean, I think
you can do racial humor without being
without malice.
Without malice,
yeah, right.
Exactly. I don't think you know. You can do humor about sexuality of all sorts without malice. I think that's the point. I think that in the past it was easy for people to do malicious humor, and people accepted it because that was the way they viewed these people.
Yeah, all that stuff, though, none of that turns me on, man. None of that turns me on.
Because but also, it's antiquated.
Well, it's just, even more than that, just like the degree of difficulty is low. I mean, it's like shooting a layup. You know, anybody can make a layup. I'm interested. It's like in diving, you know, you get extra points for degree of difficulty. I'm looking for, it's not enough not to make a splash in the water. You have to actually do some shit while you're up in the air, you know?
You're a high achiever replicating the accolades of a college-based life
for a parallel universe that you're creating.
Yeah, I'm a big faker. I made it up.
No, you're not. You're not fake. That's real.
It's real.
I demand an award tonight.
So why don't we have Ralph tell us his upcoming dates again and website and contact information.
What's our email address for people to send us gold?
It's peterandomar@gmail.com.
That's right, bitches. Use that email. And the password. Tell us how to get our money from you. Don't tell them the password or they'll fuck you up.
The password is.
And the password is.
What's let's have a quick
before we do that, before
email,
we do that,
email the show. Let's go and down. Then check your own email. It'll be great.
Let's go back down. We at the top of the show got to L, I think, on the Saints. Let's finish out the alphabet and then
M.
Have M.
Saint Mary.
Saint Michael.
Saint Mary.
Okay, they're kind of like the Hurricanes, with their name, the male and the female.
L-M-N.
So, N.
Saint Nonsense.
Neanderthal.
Both of those.
Saint Neanderthal.
Saint Omar.
Oprah.
Saint Oprah is about right.
Saint Oprah. Well,
Saint
okay.
Oprah. Saint Omar. Yeah.
Don't be dissing. Don't be dissing my fiance.
He. Saint Peter.
Yeah.
Or Paul. Saint Peter will call my name. I want to rule.
I rule the world. It was when I ruled the world.
It's funny how both our names are lying right beside each other in the alphabet as well.
That's disgusting. How dare you say that?
Oh my god. So romantic.
I hate you.
It's like post op or Poe or whatever it is. I don't know. It's like all those.
You love all these surgical references.
Now who's Q? Saint.
Are you going to have another thing?
I'm going to have another
Wiener Schnitzel.
Vaginal rejuvenation later on this month.
No, P, then, you were, he's a hermaphrodite.
He's a hermaphrodite.
Well, you're a hermaphrodite.
So P then, or P, Q, R, no, Q.
Q.
Q, Saint Quentin.
Saint Quentin.
Saint Queen.
Saint Quentin.
Saint Quentin, you're right.
Saint Quentin.
Yeah. Saint Quentin. I should know.
Very nice. Saint Quentin. Okay.
Well, actually, that was mine, but thank you for recognizing
it. Greedy?
Greedy?
Great
there.
So R, San Rafael.
San Rafael. Raffaello.
So, or S.
Saint Stephen.
Saint Sebastian.
Sebastian. Ooh, he was a real mess.
ST or ST. STD. STD.
Saint Thomas. Saint Thomas.
This island is named after that saint.
You.
Saint Ursula.
Saint Ursula.
I'm pretty sure that's not a saint.
Oh, that's real. V. Look it up, motherfucker.
V is Saint Vianney. Saint John Vianney. He was the patron saint of Viannies. V.
Saint Vagine.
W. Saint Wallaby.
Saint Wenceslaus.
Wallaby, is that a...
Wenceslaus.
The trunk?
Wallaby, it's a kangaroo.
A kangaroo.
Saint
Wenceslaus. W. Saint Xavier.
Saint Xylophone.
Saint Xavier, that's right. Very good. Saint Xavier is Xylophone.
X, Y, Saint...
Saint Ignatius.
Saint Yanni.
Saint Yanni. Saint Yanni.
Saint Yanni. And Z.
And Z, Saint...
Saint Zeppelin, of course.
Saint Zeus. Saint Zeppelin. Nice.
Saint Zeppelin. Yes, there we go. We completed
it.
We completed it. Okay.
Send us gold. PeterandOmar@gmail.com.
What?
Just send me your account number.
Saint Trinian, yes.
Saint Trinian is for T.
Thomas this time.
It's our default. Yeah.
Well, there's an island named after that. That's how I know.
Very
that's
good.
Trinidad.
St. Thomas, my dear.
Oh, St. Thomas.
The U.S. Virgin Islands, my dear.
Lovely
vacations there.
Lovely vacation spot. St. Bart's is another one. We could go on and on and on. Well, thank you very much, Ralph. Let's have your information one more time.
Sure. You can find me online at ralphvincent.com or at myspace.com/ralphvincent. And please come to the Hollywood Improv next Sunday, June 21st at 9 p.m. I will be telling my international comedy hits.
Wow, excellent. In many, many, many languages. Well, once again, it has been a pleasure.
It has been a
for
pleasure.
For you.
Pleasure's all mine. Thanks for having me.
The pleasure, the privilege is mine. There is a light that never goes out.
You know, thank my co-host, Omar, this evening.
For God's sake.
Shut up,
dear.
Darling. Do shut up. Do you have any closing music? Something from the Saints.
Ending of our song. Let's hear When the Saints Go Marching In by Louis Armstrong.
From the Alphabetical Saints Go
Marching
In. Alphabetical
Saints. You know, and people, do write to us and let us know if we've left
out any saints.
And
their dates.
If there are some saints that you'd like us to add, we'll do it.
Our saints you'd like
someone's
to
going out of the door and I'm frightened. Oh, there's going to be a dog brought in.
With a friend of mine I hadn't seen in years.
St. Angelo, there
you go. To a party that would end in tears.
Bonne nuit. Bonne nuit, day, bitches.
stop dictating. Please. Stop saying yes and no all over the table and then deciding not to do it yourself.
No, okay, actually, so I'm giving you the right benefit now, of the moment. Added,
it's part of the bonus features, part of the director's cut that you get on DVDs. We have the full uninterrupted...
We have Ralph Vincent's full eight.
The uncut version, full eight of Ralph Vincent following these important
Listen
messages.
Up, girls and boys.
So excited. How's everybody?
Good.
Come on, this isn't like TJ, I can hear you. How's everybody doing? I recently got married. Married an older woman, because it's better than having a real job. She's older than me, but it's cool. She's very sophisticated and smart, you know. She's in the stuff that's way over my head. Like the other night, she was like, I'm going to teach you all about feng shui, which is great because I love Asian foods. So. But it's not all fun and games being married to an older woman. I'll tell you, there'll be times when we're watching TV. And I'll be sitting on the couch holding her hand, looking over at her, and I'll think to myself, you are beautiful, but man, are you old? A young guy. Got a lot of living left to do. I'm 31 and she's like, 32. It's not the worst part. My wife's a bed hog. My wife likes to sleep diagonally. Means that I get to sleep tragically. In a corner. With my feet in my face. Which is fine, because every morning she runs to the kitchen to make us a pot of coffee. Which is perfect, because everybody knows that coffee cures scoliosis. We're on a different schedule for fooling around. I'll give you an example. I'm a guy. I like to fool around in the morning. And she's a woman, so she likes to fool around at night. So we've reached a compromise. We fool around at night. So let that be a lesson to you. Okay, now that we're close, tell a little bit about myself. I hate it when people are vague. Child, I was a paper boy, but eventually I became a three-dimensional person. I know, it's real funny. Laugh. People used to fold me up, stick me in their pocket. Okay, sometimes when I come on stage, I get nervous, so I'm a little superstitious. What I like to do to break the ice is go ahead and read a fortune cookie, so if that's okay with everybody. That is so true. Okay, let's get down to business. So I put my mom on spam blocker. Big deal. She deserved it. Somebody should have told her it's not cool to send me like 47 Jesus emails every single day.
pretty confident these emails are not authentically from Christ. The dead giveaway is the outline of an angel. Get a really useful pop for a decent graphic designer. It bugged me because I'm not very religious. I just pray when I want stuff. I don't think that's the same thing. Okay, we having fun so far? Awesome. You guys are having half as much fun as me? And I'm having twice as much fun as you. So I guess I'm winning. I don't mean to make this a competition. Okay! Who's excited about crime? Yeah! Okay, so it's unanimous. We all love crime. Yeah. Why not? It's all it's on TV, right? CSIs, Golden Girls. You know what show I hate? Is that America's Most Wanted? Great, you catch the bad guy. How come every composite sketch you ever show looks exactly like me? I had to get rid of all my sunglasses. My sweatshirts. Ski masks. Alright, you guys are a cool crowd. I'm glad you laughed at the comedy jokes. Makes me insecure when people don't laugh. Don't let it bother me. I think that being insecure is part of human nature. Like I mentioned 4,000 years ago, right before they rush into battle, tribal warriors would look at each other and be like, hey, is my makeup scaring you? Totally scared. Okay. You may find this hard to believe, but I haven't always been a comedian. Before I was a comic, I was actually a member of the world's oldest profession. As a witch doctor. I look stupid in the grass skirts. So I become an inventor. Not good at that. But I'm the proud creator of the windproof kite. I got the candy toothbrush. And of course, I got that machine that rewinds your DVDs before you return them. So I'm going to be rich. Hey, everybody clap for me.
Yeah.